Please turn with me this evening to Matthew chapter 6. I want to look at the first 18 verses. But in these verses we have the Lord's Prayer, which is found in a number of places in the Scripture, where the Lord teaches his disciples a pattern prayer. But we're not going to consider that this evening. We're going to look at two things before that prayer and one thing after it. So three things that a Christian does. But these things which a Christian does, the Christian does in secret. So they may not necessarily be things which you're that familiar with. You might not know much about these three things because the Lord Jesus here teaches Christians to do them in secret. First thing we find is about prayer. In verse 5, when thou prayest, says, so that's the second one. When thou prayest, the first one is in verse 1. When you do alms, which is an old-fashioned way of saying giving to charity. We might say putting money in the offering box, or in some way giving something of value to the Lord's work. But the Lord wants that done in secret. And the praying also is to be done in secret. And the third one is in verse 16. When you fast, that is to deny yourself food or something else for a period of time. And I'll come on to explain exactly what that is and how it works in a moment. But these are the three things: giving money, praying, and fasting. These are three things which the Lord says his followers will do. He doesn't command them to do it. He doesn't say, if you do it. He says, when you do it. When you give money. When you pray. When you fast. And that's interesting in and of itself, isn't it? The way he's phrased that. He expects that his disciples will do these things. Yet perhaps you're not particularly familiar with them. Well, much of this Sermon on the Mount teaches us what the Lord Jesus Christ expects his disciples to do and what he expects them to be like and how he expects them to behave and how he expects them to think. So to look at these things is a great check and a help for us, because if we're to be true Christians, we must be Christians like the ones the Lord Jesus Christ describes. You know, there are many people in this world who call themselves Christians, but the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't call them Christians. They're not following him in the way he has told them to go. We've stolen that word and used it for a new meaning. Christians are people who are members of a certain religion. But the word Christian means a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. And if we're going to be a follower and a disciple of somebody, then that means we're going to listen to their teaching. And we're going to obey their teaching. And we're going to copy them. So a Christian is someone who copies and follows Christ, not someone who says that they've got this name of Christian, but actually behaves in a completely different way. So it's helpful for us to look at this chapter to see what the Lord Jesus Christ says his true followers will do and how he teaches them to behave. And the first one is about giving. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says, when you come to give money, don't have in your mind that you hope other people see what you're doing. When you come to put your £5 note or your huge check for thousands of pounds, whatever it is in between, when you come to put that in the box or give that to the church, don't think to yourself, oh, I hope somebody sees me. Is anyone looking? I'm going to get my big wad of £10 notes out. Wave them around for a while. Yes, I think everyone's seen what I'm going to do. And I'm going to I've dropped them on the floor. I'll pick them up. Did everyone see good? No, don't do that, says the Lord. You know, the Pharisees had a terrible habit of making sure that everyone knew about what it was that they were doing. It says in verse 2, Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you give money, perhaps in the synagogue, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Now, I don't know if this ever really happened, but it sounds as though you've got some proud Pharisee with a treasure trove behind him, and he's blowing a trumpet and saying to everyone, look at me, I'm going to march around Jerusalem till everyone sees, and I'm going to carry my big treasure, and I'm going to put it in the box, and I'll be in the front page of the papers the next day. The Jewish Chronicle will say, so-and-so Pharisee, he's given a huge amount of money, and everyone will respect me. And they'll come round to my house and they'll say, oh, you're a godly man. Let's listen to your teaching. And I will have my pride puffed up and I will feel good. And the Lord says, they have their reward. In other words, God is not going to reward them. But they have the adoration or the respect or the good comments of people who've seen what they've done. And that's what they really wanted. They just wanted the praise of their fellow man. As I understand it, I remember hearing once that one of the tricks they used to have is they used to change their money up into the smallest coins they could find. So instead of putting a £1 coin in, they'd put 10 10p's or 25p's or 100 1p's. And as I understand it, I don't know where I remember this from, but there was a trumpet, a brass a funnel, which you could put your money into. We've got an offering box for the back there, and it's got a little piece of plastic at the bottom. So when you drop a coin in, it doesn't make any sound. But this, in some of the synagogues or the temples, was this big trumpet. So if you poured a whole lot of one penny pieces in there, it made a tremendous racket, and everyone looked round and said, wow, look! A bit like that sound that you hear when loads of coins come out of a machine. And the Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. He said in verse 3, when you give money, it should be even as if your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. You should be doing this in secret. And your Father in heaven, who sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. So a Christian will seek be a person who gives in secret. Now, I'm not saying to anybody here, we want your money. Not saying that at all. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go out of the sermon and say, oh, the pastor was going on about how we ought to give more money to the church. No. But if you have been changed, if you have been saved, you will want to give money to the Lord's cause. You will want the church to be maintained. You will want the gospel to be preached. You will want the word to go out. You will want to share of what the Lord has given you. And you will do that secretly, not to impress other people, but because you love the Lord. It's an act of faith. You're saying to the Lord, well, there are many things I could spend my own money on, Lord. I could buy myself a new this and a new that. I could save it up for the future for a rainy day. Or I could go and spend it on that thing which I'd really enjoy. Or I could do, well, all sorts of things I could do with my money. But the first thing I'm going to do with my money is I'm going to give some of it back to the Lord, because He will provide. Everything that I have is the Lord's anyway. And I want to honour Him with all of my substance. So, this secret giving that the Christian does, it's an act of faith that says, Lord, I trust You to provide for me, for my family. I trust You that I won't go hungry, and I won't be destitute. I'm going to give You this money. You know, you don't see it come back necessarily immediately. It's no good saying, well, I'll put £10 in the box this week. And I'll see if the Lord gives it back to me. And so you look on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. And the next Lord's Day comes round and nobody's given you £100 out of the blue. And so you say to yourself, well, I put £10, the Lord hasn't given it back to me, so I'm not going to do that again. No, you give in faith. Secretly, you give to the Lord as an act of faith. That is how Christians think. They trust the Lord to provide for them. And they believe that everything which they have, they owe to the Lord anyway, because it's all come from Him. The second thing that the Christian does in private, in secret, is in verse 5. The Lord says to the people, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Again, the Lord says these people are just doing it to be seen of men. They just want to impress other people. So they stand up in prayer meetings, or they stand up in the synagogue, or even on the corner of the street. It was not uncommon in those days in Jerusalem to see a man stand on the corner of the street and pretend that he was praying to God with eloquent words, quoting the scripture and speaking about how wonderful he was. And the Lord says, well, he's got his reward. People, silly people, will look at him and think that he's very holy, and that's all that they can expect. He said, no, my true disciples won't pray like that. Verse 6, when you pray, and you will pray because you're a Christian, you'll pray all the time. Enter into your closet. And again, the Lord uses extreme words when he's talking about blowing trumpets, when he's talking about the left hand literally not knowing what the right hand is doing. He is talking about extremes here. He's making a point by saying something quite excessive in a way. And he says, go into a cupboard. Find the smallest room in your house where you keep the pots and pans, where there's no light. Go in there and close the door behind you where nobody would ever come in to disturb you because there isn't room for them. Go into that tiny place where all the spiders are and close the door. The smallest, quietest place that you can find, and pray in secret. Pray to thy Father in secret. And again he says, the Father, thy Father in heaven, which sees in secret, shall reward you, not in secret, but in the open. So this is another thing that the Christian does secretly. You might not have seen it. Well, you've heard me pray, if you've come here, and you may have seen people praying in the pew next to you, but you haven't seen us praying in our homes. You haven't seen us praying in our bedrooms and in our private place, because it is a secret thing. But again, this praying is an act of faith. When a Christian prays to the Lord God, they do not immediately get a response. It's just as though when you put money in the box at the back, you do not get a receipt from heaven saying, we acknowledge the receipt of your £10 note. You don't get that, do you? And you don't get it with praying either. You have to do it by faith. You don't hear the Lord speaking back to you. You can't see his face. You could have a conversation with me afterwards. You might say something, and I might respond, oh yes, okay, I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. Yes, and I will do something based on, you've asked me to do this, but I will do it. And you will go away from that conversation saying, well, I've gone to speak to the pastor, and I've made myself understood, and I've asked him to do something, and he's understood what he's been asked to do, and he said that he will do it, and he's told me when he's going to do it. Well, that doesn't take any faith, does it? But to speak to the Lord, you have to believe that he will hear you. You have to believe when he promises that he will answer your prayer and that he will do what is best for you. It's an act of faith. When you pray to the Lord God in secret, you're saying, Lord, I'm asking you for something which I can't do or get for myself. You're saying, Lord, you are stronger and wiser than I am. So it's an act of faith, isn't it? You're trusting in him. You're trusting in his power and his wisdom. And you're trusting in his promise that he will hear your prayers. So that's the second secret thing that a Christian does. And the third one is in verse 16. When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance. Now, fasting is something which many people in the Bible did and which we can still do to this day. And essentially, it means not eating for a period of time. But it doesn't have to mean just that. I know some people who've fasted for 40 days, which is a very long time, and they've allowed themselves to have water and juice, fruit juice, but they haven't had any solid food for 40 days. And why would you do that? Is it to earn respect from God? No, not at all. It's not earning anything with God. The fasting is putting aside something which is very important, like eating, for something which is even more important. You are saying, whether you fast for 12 hours or 12 days, you are saying, I am going to put aside certain things like food, and I'm not going to have any of it, because I want to dedicate myself to seeking after God, praying, studying, and drawing close to Him. You may give up food for a day, or you might have a breakfast in the morning and then say, I'm not going to eat anything else until 9 o'clock tonight. Or you might say, I'm not going to have any food or any coffee or any tea, just water. Or you might say, I'm going to fast from the television or from social media or from some other thing which you spend a lot of time on. You might say, I'm going to dedicate a number of hours or a day or a week. I'm going to give up certain things and put them out of the way so that they don't get in the way of seeking the face of the Lord. The trouble was that in those days there were these hypocrites. And the word hypocrite really means a two-faced person. It comes from a Greek word about actors who used to go up on stage with a mask on. And of course the mask was not their real face, was it? So it means a two-faced person. And these hypocrites, well, they used to not only fast, or at least pretend to fast, they used to do it to impress other people. So they would come in and they would say, oh, I'm very weak. Oh, and they would make sure their face was white. And maybe their hair was a bit disheveled. And they would purposely make themselves look very, very ill so that people would think, oh, look, he's been fasting. He's such a holy man. We should respect him. But it was all just a show. And the Lord says again, they have their reward. Maybe they impressed some silly people. They didn't impress God. No, he says, when you fast, don't tell anybody else that you're doing it. Because the temptation will be that you do it just to impress other people. You're only doing it for the Lord. So wash your hair and have a shave and comb your hair and make sure that you don't look too tired or anything. Don't tell anyone else what you're up to. And then, although you won't appear very impressive to other men, your Heavenly Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly. So again, this fasting is an act of faith. It's saying, I trust that if I dedicate myself for a period of time, for a few hours, for a day, 2 days, a week, then the Lord will hear my prayers, and that I will draw close to Him, and I will get a spiritual blessing which is greater than the blessing that I would have from the comfort of eating a meal every day. When I seek with all my heart, when I make my relationship with God more important to me even than food, the Lord will bless me. So here are the three secret things that a Christian does. And maybe they'd be a surprise to you. Maybe you didn't realize that Christians did that. But many Christians give 10% of their income or more to the church. That they pray day and night in secret for long periods of time. And that they sometimes go without food for a day or two or more in order to seek the face of their Lord. This is what the Lord has told us his disciples do. But he's also told us not to brag about it, not to do it to impress our fellow men. But you know, these three things are also quite interesting because they teach us about how we become disciples of the Lord in the first place, how we become true Christians. This giving thing, it's not something which suddenly comes to us after we're saved. No, giving is a large part of becoming a Christian. You see, it's not just a question of giving money or giving time to the Lord. To become a Christian, you have to give your whole life to Him. That's what it means to become a Christian, to surrender your whole life. And you say to the Lord, Lord, I won't live for myself anymore. I'll live for you. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, set apart for the Lord God. We sing that hymn, and that's what it means. You want to become a Christian? You don't say, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 6 hours on a Sunday and 2 hours during the week. No, you say, Lord, take my life. All of it. Doesn't mean that you have to give up your job necessarily. Doesn't mean you have to leave your family. Doesn't mean you have to stop caring for your children. None of those things. You still have to do those things, but you do everything that you do for the Lord God. The Lord God wants you to bring up your children well. He wants you to do a good job at work. He wants you to be a good husband or a wife. But you're doing it not for yourself anymore, but for Him. So it's hardly surprising, is it, that people who've given their whole lives to the Lord and been saved and forgiven will spend the rest of their lives giving large amounts of their own income to the Lord's work. It's natural and obvious. So to become a Christian involves giving up your life to the Lord. Secondly, the praying. Of course, you cannot be saved without prayer. Seems such an obvious thing to say. You cannot come to find forgiveness without asking for it, and that means praying. You are saved when your prayers are heard by God. And your prayers are heard by God when they are prayers of faith. You pray believing God. Believing that He will hear. Believing that He is there. Believing His promises when He said that He will forgive you your sins. Believing that He is who He says He is. So, to become a true Christian, a disciple of the living God, well, it all starts with giving your life to Him and also praying in faith. So again, it's not surprising, is it, that the Christian is a person who prays. Well, when I first prayed a true prayer, the Lord heard that prayer. And that prayer was that my sins would be forgiven and that He would be my Saviour, that He would rescue me from hell and take me to heaven. And He heard that prayer. And He answered that prayer. And He gave me what I asked for. So will I now stop praying? Now that I know that I have the ear of God Almighty on high, the Creator. Now that I know that He is willing to give me such valuable things. That He loves me and cares for me. That He asked me to call Him my Father in heaven. You're hardly going to stop praying. The life of the Christian is characterized by prayer. Because it started with a great answer to prayer. Thirdly, as well as giving your life and praying in faith and having your prayer answered, there is this seeking the Lord with all of your hearts. When you fast, you're saying, I'm going to put aside certain things which are not sinful and they're not wrong. In fact, they're very important things like eating. I'm going to put them aside, though, because I have something even more important than eating to do. I am seeking after my Lord, my God, in prayer. I am seeking to be close to Him. And in order to be saved, you need to seek Him with all of your heart. And that means to make Him your number one priority. You can't say, I have a list of things to do. I want to get a new job. I want to pass my exams. I want to get married. I want to have children. And I want to be saved. Not good enough. You have to say, you know, I'd happily be poor. I'd happily be single. I'd happily be childless. If only I could have the Saviour. That's the most important thing. That is high above all of the other things in my life. Now, by God's grace, He will save you and give you many other wonderful good things as well. But it must be the most important thing. You can see it, can't you? The idea of fasting. You're saying, God is more important to me than food today. And although you feel hungry and you have the hunger pangs and it's difficult and you've got to push through the physical craving, yet you're saying, no, that just spurs me on to seek God. Well, you don't need to fast to be saved. But it's a picture of how much you need to desire this salvation. It cannot be number 3 or 4 on your to-do list, on your bucket list. It must be number 1, and it must almost be the only thing because it is the most important thing in the world. So I have to ask you this question. Is this you? Are you a giving, praying, fasting disciple of the Lord God? Have you given your life to Him? Have you prayed to Him in faith, believing His promises? Have you sought after Him, knowing it was the most important thing in your life? None of us are born like this. Not one. Not one person is born being this kind of character that the Lord Jesus Christ is describing. And only true disciples behave in this way. The question is, have you become a true disciple yet? It's time to seek the Lord with all of your heart. It's time to pray to Him in faith, believing what He tells us in His Word. It's time to give your life to Him, not holding anything back, knowing that you will be safe and blessed when you become a child of God and you can say that I have a Father in heaven. The Lord bless you as you seek after these things. Amen.